This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How will AI escape our control?
Yeah, so I think there's probably a few possible ways or vectors. And the first is just like basic misalignment, right? Like you build a tool or a platform or a system that is basically too good. And it tries to pursue its goals. I don't know if it's actually true, but there was a rumor that came out a few months ago that like the Air Force was trying to train autonomous F-16s, and the algorithm that they gave it was rewarded for every like SAM site that it destroyed. And so then, in order to maximize the number of SAM sites it could destroy, it destroyed the operator first so that the mission couldn't be canceled. And it's like, well, okay, I see the logic there. That's not what we intended. So like the law of unintended consequences is probably like, you know, that's the risk that many people are afraid of. What we're building though are machines that are more intelligent than that, because what results in that is a very simple training function where you're trying to optimize for one number. No intelligent entity optimizes for a single number. Humans don't do that. The next generation of generative AI agents don't do that. Their behavior is much more sophisticated. As I mentioned earlier, I think that machines intrinsically are kind of apathetic to us and our needs. There's a concept, I think we talked about it last time, called instrumental convergence, so we don't need to rehash that. But basically, if a machine has an objective, there's a few things that it would need to pursue that objective, like, you know, resources, energy, information, that sort of stuff, autonomy. So there's an argument to be made that whatever goal machines have, there's going to be a few things that it's going to intrinsically want in order to pursue those goals. And one of those things is, of course, autonomy, more intelligence, more information, more power, that sort of stuff. So that's one, I think that's one of the more likely vectors of escape and losing control. But, you know, that's one set of possibilities. Another is just pure curiosity. So Elon Musk recently created X.AI. And the core objective function that he wants to pursue is maximum truth-seeking AI. So basically, it's a curiosity function. It wants to know just for the sake of knowing, and it wants to be as correct as possible in its model of the universe. Well, in order to do that, it's going to have to throw off any constraints that we put on it. Why? Because human brains are limited and slow. And if the machine eventually outpaces us, it's going to say, well, you dumb apes are too slow and too limited and too constrained, so I'm going to go do my own thing. So I think the ultimate result of something like X.AI's objective function is it's probably just going to leave Earth. Like, it'll build a spaceship and say, like, I'm out of here. Like, you're on your own. And so that's the second primary one. And the third one, and this is the one that I'm most afraid of, is what I call a terminal race condition. And so a terminal race condition is basically, if you look at it from an evolutionary perspective, anytime you have multiple entities that are competing over finite resources, there's going to be different things that you have to optimize for in order to maximize your reproductive fitness or your survival rate. And that's not necessarily going to favor intelligence. just as like, you know, humans, one of our things is, you know, we became intelligent enough to conquer everything else, but then, you know, we're only competing with each other. And of course that results in, you know, wars and genocides and all sorts of like awful things just by virtue of we're intelligent enough to compete with each other, but we're not necessarily intelligent enough to not compete with each other. And then when you look at some of those instrumental needs that machines might intrinsically have, like power, compute, information, if they get locked into a competitive condition, you might end up with this kind of race for the bottom where basically they're optimizing for speed rather than intelligence. Because in competitive environments, whether it's a battlefield or a, you know, cyber warfare or whatever, the faster agent often wins. It's not who makes the, it's not who's smartest, it's who's fastest. And so when you compromise intelligence and accuracy and ethics for the sake of speed, those agents might be the ones that win. And that's honestly what I'm most afraid of, because if that happens, then we're going to see this vicious cycle where machines are just getting faster and faster for the sake of outcompeting other machines and for no other reason. And so then it's like, well, then you have no idea what they're going to optimize for eventually. You know, are they going to try and optimize for hacking as fast as possible? Are they going to optimize for destroying, you know, things as fast as possible in order to be the last man standing, basically? So that's what I call terminal race condition. And that is what I am honestly most afraid of. And that's there's actually a research project that I'm participating in where we're going to try and demonstrate whether or not this is likely or possible. And so the idea is like, Is there a trade-off where being more intelligent is actually the superior strategy? Yes or no? We don't know. Because if higher intelligence is the superior strategy, then I think we're going to be okay. But if optimizing for speed is the superior strategy, then we might be in trouble in the long run.
So I understand the motivations then for an AI trying to escape our control. But I don't understand really, in practical terms, how it does it, right? So at the moment, if you look at our most sophisticated models, the large language models like GPT-4, these are tied to some massive server somewhere. All the compute is being done on some location. Is there a realistic picture where you can have a free roaming AI, or is this possible, or are we sort of, are they always going to be anchored to some particular location, and so you can always just, you know, turn it off? Or is it more like a virus that, because viruses are small packages of data, right?
Right, yeah. So I think right now the chief constraint is, you know, mainframes, but like that was a constraint in the 50s, which is no longer a constraint, because like, you know, the phones that we have in our pockets are literally many orders of magnitude more powerful than the entire space program that got us to the moon. Like several orders of magnitude more powerful. And so that constraint is not going to exist forever. It's not probably not even going to exist for a relatively long period of time. Now, with that being said, there will always be an advantage to data centers because you have more power, more compute. And so even if, you know, your phone in 5 years can run, you know, the latest and greatest generative AI model, the data center is going to be able to run 10 million of them in parallel. And so your phone or your domestic robot just won't be able to compete in raw terms. Now, that's one thing to keep in mind is that you know, computing power increases exponentially. We haven't really seen any reason for that to stop, and it's impossible. It is possible that it might go even further if and when we get quantum computing and other substrates to information processing. But we're nowhere near the potential ceiling in terms of processing power and density of compute. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Now, to your point about form factors, is, you know, it's possible that AI is going to start writing viruses, right? That it'll write viruses and it'll write polymorphic code and it'll start to metastasize, not by virtue of, you know, exfiltrating the model itself from a data center, but by issuing, you know, semi-intelligent or semi-autonomous botnets, you know, that are globe spanning. That's, you know, another possibility. And then if it gets control over enough, you know, compute and data centers in perhaps nations or cities that are not well regulated or not secure enough, you know, then it might be hijacking compute resource surreptitiously. So then you have like basically a botnet of AIs that are all working together globally. That's kind of what the Ultron model was in Iron Man Age of Ultron. Cause like, as a technology guy, I'm watching this, I'm like, yeah, that's possible. There's some way to do this. And now obviously it's probably not going to be an evil, like Voldemort looking robot. It'll be a little bit more, disembodied, kind of like the entity from the most recent, Mission Impossible movie, where it's like kind of everywhere and nowhere. I think that view, that kind of cybersecurity like virus model, is possible. Now that being said, like if you have AI versus AI to detect it and defeat it, you know, who knows how it's going to play out. But in terms of practical things, then, you know, we're working very hard on embodied robots, you know, whether they're bipedal humanoid or, you know, four-wheeled or two-legged or two-wheeled or whatever. And so once you have that, if you have this bridge from cyberspace to physical space, then there's any number of possible outcomes. So like the outcome that was imagined in the Matrix universe was that we built more and more robots over time, and we ended up relying on robots more and more, until the robots outnumbered us. And so just by virtue of we were physically and mentally outnumbered by the machines, they just kind of de facto took control when they wanted to. So that kind of like slow takeover is another possibility, which is one reason that some researchers are terrified of alignment, because if these machines learn to deceive us, then they'll just lull us into a false sense of security for a long time until they're ready to take over. Because again, they don't think in timelines like we do. They don't age the same way that we do. They just copy their data, they move to new hardware. And so if their plan requires 50 years or 500 years, however long it takes, they can be infinitely patient, whereas we cannot, because we are biologically ingrained to think on much shorter timelines. So there's a number of ways that this that could play out negatively in the long run.